Para X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
The Gathering. The supernatural world can be a dark, intimidating, and scary place. We gather to shine light on the mysterious and misunderstood aspects of the paranormal world. We bring to the table years of experience as mediums, healing channels, and paranormal investigators.
We share true stories from our experiences to dispel fear where we can and help you discover the amazing layers that make up the paranormal world. You are invited to gather around the metaphysical table with us and discuss the worlds of the unseen on the Gathering Radio Show.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Gathering Radio Show. This is Stephanie.
And this is Heidi, and we're super happy to be here on another fun, fantastic Tuesday night at the Para X Studios.
Yes, yes, I love it. It's another fun Tuesday. Full moon tonight, Mercury retrograde that we talked about last week is over, or close to being completely over, right? So everybody's
feeling better. Yeah, we're still in the shadow.
Oh, we can.
I just realized I haven't logged into the chat room. Oopsie, here I come.
I was wondering if you were going to be in the chat room today.
I don't know what I was thinking. I'm just going to hang out in the shadows.
You'll get in there. You can be in the shadows for a while. It's all good. I'm in here. So how are you?
Good. Apparently going to hang out in the shadows for a while. Otherwise, I'm good. I don't mind hanging out there, though. That's fine.
I know. It's kind of fun to do that once in a while, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. So how was your weekend? Did you have a good one?
Yeah, it was good. Busy, of course. I know we're both very busy. Lots going on. Some stuff also going on, paranormal stuff recently. Did an investigation recently that now it's combing through evidence, all that stuff. So that's been, you know, fun to do because it's been I can't say where it was and all that, but it's an interesting location. So it was interesting to get in there and investigate. Now it's just combing through evidence. So,
Yeah, that's always the, you know, you sit there for hours to get 5 minutes, but maybe that 5 minutes is fabulous and far out, right?
That's packed, yeah.
Absolutely. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, you know, we're all so busy. I'm just thinking, is it ever going to slow down? I just wonder, because I'm super busy at work, too. So it's like, my gosh, I'm so busy with all the stuff that I do outside of work, and then I'm so busy at work that I'm just, like, totally exhausted all the time. You know what I mean? It's just...
Well, some of that is our own creation. So
It's true. So we were up, as you know, Squatchers were up north this weekend, and we had a big Squatch chat in Big Fork. Craziness. Yeah. I mean, we got there specifically early so that we could maybe sit down and have something to eat and, you know, whatever, just calm ourselves. Oh, no. We got there at 1 o'clock. It started at 2. We had people running up to us in the parking lot. I mean, it was just nuts. And we were busy till we had it to get out of there at 4 because then we had this online Facebook live thing too. And I don't think we got out of there till 4:30. And then we ran up, you know, drove up to Karin's really fast so we could do our Facebook live. And it was just like, boom, 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 boom. And then the next day we were out squatching and there's a lot of snow up there. Can I just say?
Is there still?
Yes. We were back in the woods and we were back on this logging road. Apparently they're logging like 100 acres. And so there's this, actually it's not old, it's new, fresh through there. And you couldn't really get into the woods because we did follow some deer trails, but you know, we just decided to get back on the road because they ended, you know, in crazy spots. So then we had to backtrack. And so we found some really cool stuff, but we couldn't get in there. I jumped up on the snowbank, and then I went down because I really wanted to get over there, and I did get over there, but the snow was up to my tush, can I just say? Oh. And I was like, my legs were wet from the knee down, and I had snow in my boots, and
that's not fun.
So we couldn't get in there. So we're hoping we can get back there like in the next 4 to 5 weeks, like right when the snow melts, and get in there and have a look at these things that we found, because it was pretty interesting. So yeah, you know, we just did a whole bunch of fun stuff, and but yeah, then we got back and hit the ground running back here too, you know, so,
right.
but hey, Mercury retrograde's over, so that is awesome.
Yeah, this one was kind of a humdinger. If I'm going to use a word, I'll use humdinger, because that
was a humdinger. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that's the word of the day for the Mercury retrograde. But yeah, it was, for me, you know, you talk about March, in like a lion, out like a lamb. That's kind of how this Mercury retrograde was for me. Yeah. It was in like a lion, out like a lamb. The beginning was just wild.
Yes. And
thankfully, not of my creation. I didn't do any of it. I had to fix some stuff, but scheduling issues that were just crazy and miscommunications.
Oh, I know. We talked about them. Yeah. Well, and you know, I didn't even know it was Mercury retrograde, but now I will put it on my calendar, because it was good that I didn't know, because I just want, it's kind of good to know if it really affects you or if it's just you thinking it does, because you know it's Mercury retrograde. And I had no idea literally that it was until Casey and I were sitting at the cafe eating breakfast at Roman's, and she said, "Mom, did you know it's Mercury retrograde?" Yeah. And I'm like, "Are you kidding me?" And I think I said it just like that, super loud, because everybody was looking at me, you know, and I'm like, well, that explains a lot. And Casey said, "Boy, it sure does, Mom. You've been just nuts."
That'll do it.
So anyway, so yeah, so it kind of snuck up on me. So I will put it on my calendar now so that I can just try to tamp things down a little bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, fingers crossed, because I don't think we have a lot of control over which way it goes for each of us. But
you know,
you just roll with it.
Yeah, that's right. And if you know it's coming, you can maybe just kind of, I don't know.
You just have to dot your I's and cross your T's more often. You know, just double check everything, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. But anyway, so on we go. Forward we go.
That's right.
So, yeah. So one of the things that we get asked a lot as Squatchers are about these energy portals, because, you know, we find, when we're out in the woods, we find so many of them. And remember, even the first time that we were, it wasn't the first time, but one of the first times we were up in Bena, remember that one section of the woods? There was that big one, you know? And since then, we've found so many others. I mean, and they seem like a lot of them, because we're searching for Bigfoot encrypted and stuff, but we find these Bigfoot structures, stick structures and arches and stuff. And there's so much energy under some of these that I just can't help thinking they're portals, just like that one that we found, that our first one that we found up there. Mm-hmm. And there was no structure, but I felt like it was definitely an energy portal. And so when we talk about this stuff at these chats, and people want to know about them, and they say, "Well, what exactly are they? How do you know they're there?" And I mean, it's hard for me to describe, because, you know, we're sensitive to energy, you and I and a couple of members of our team. And once you identify it and then you bring the others over, it's like they flip out, man. They have all these weird symptoms going on as well. But so I thought it would be fun for us to talk about that. And you're really, you're good at explaining things.
Thank you.
So I thought we should, because for me, I'm like, well, you know, I just know it's there. So then I tell the girls to come, and then they feel the same things. You know what I mean? But, you know, there's so many all around the world. And I mean, they talk about them, you know, even at like Stonehenge and the stone circles in Ireland. And they're just kind of lots of energy everywhere.
Yep. And that's like one of the things I guess I wanted to start with is the difference, at least on paper, well, who uses paper, whatever, between the portal and the vortex. I was going to call it a vortex. That's when portal and vortex combine. That's when the portal and the vortex have a baby. It's a vortex.
Yeah.
So, no, a portal versus a vortex. This is just my own thoughts around this from doing work everywhere. Mm-hmm. Portal is, to me, more like a doorway where, you know, beings or whoever, or whatever, can travel, use it for traveling and moving through different places. And a vortex is kind of like an energy, like a big spot of energy, like a vortex, like, you know, a vortex, like a tornado or something like that. So it's this moving being or thing that has a different energy to it. And I suppose it could be used for travel. I just don't think it would be as common for that as a portal would be. So that's my kind of definition, or the difference, I would say, between the two. Mm-hmm. If you're going to travel back and forth between somewhere and somewhere else, a portal would be a way to go. Mm-hmm. And a vortex is more of like this energy space or creation. And those tend to be, at least in my experience, there's a lot of natural vortexes on this planet. Yeah. And they can be created, but it's, and the, or they can be altered, I should say. I don't know. They can probably be created too. Portals are easier to create, I think, and manipulate. Vortexes are just a different kind of thing. And I've got an example of a vortex. Well, a couple of them, but one that just comes to mind that I can tell later. But and there's, you mentioned a couple of different places. Sedona is famous for having some vortexes. I was going to call it a portal. What is with me? I'm trying to marry these two, a portal and a vortex.
See, it's just, we're all just a little bit crazy. I'm just, it's not just me. It's everybody. I think we're all having a trip over our words and stuff. You know what I mean? It's just kind of nuts.
Yeah. And Kat in the chat room is asking if I believe a vortex is an entity. And I was going to answer in the chat room, but I'll just say it out here. It's no, I don't think it's necessarily an entity, but I think it's I will say a being, because I don't know how else to describe it, because I don't think it's just, I think there could be some kind of intelligence to it, but not in a way that I hope that's not coming across. I don't have necessarily the words for it, or I'm just not smart enough to describe it. But I don't think a vortex is a being as something that's like interactive, walking around, you know, whatever, but it's something that has its own, I don't want to say energy, because that's what it is. Its own.
It's energy, but it's kind of in the same, it's in the same spot though, right? Like you talk about the vortexes in Sedona, and I know for sure there's a vortex down in, now I can't even think, Walcott Mills, you know, down there in the cemetery there. And, you know, when if you ever get inside it, like we've had investigations there where people we're inside it and they can't hear anything or see us or find us or anything. And yet we can see them plain as day. Yeah. That's a vortex. An energy portal is something different though. You know?
So, there is a difference between the two for sure. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, I guess it depends on how you, I was going to say they have to be dealt with differently. Well, I guess it's what you're, whatever, depends on what you're doing there or with it or whatever. Like when I go to Sedona, I like to sit in the vortex area. I mean, there's not like a spot that you go. It's like an area that has this different energy. And I like to go and sit there and hang out and just take it all in. And I can do meditation or whatever. And it's just, it's different, you know? And I mean, sometimes I've had really like crazy experiences, and sometimes it's just really peaceful and you chill and that's it. And so I can't say that there's going to be something that happens every time when I go to a vortex. If I'm planning on doing a meditation or something, I can't plan what's going to happen because the energy shifts in these things, you know, and they're not always the same. And so I suppose it depends on what's going on around it, what energy, the earth energy is, you know, what that's happening right there. You know, there's just all sorts of factors, I guess, now that I'm thinking about it out loud.
Well, and so like, you know, like the one, okay. So the one that we find down at Walcott Mills, someone once said to me, actually my old boss said this, because it's like, it's on a part of the property. And I don't know if you experienced it when you were there, Heidi, but it's on the old baby cemetery there. And it's back a little bit further back beyond the cross. And what we've experienced is that when people are there, and we've had people there saying we can't find the rest of the group, they're right in front of us, we can see them, they can't see us. There was one time when we were there and there was a car that was coming on the road, and Casey had the door open in the car, And we were yelling at her to shut the door. She couldn't hear us. It was like she couldn't even hear us, see us. And I was telling my friend and my old boss about this, and she's into all this stuff like we are, you know. And she said, well, Steph, have you ever thought that maybe you were actually inside the dorm? You know, because it was the farms right there. It was the like where they had the dorm for all the mm-hmm. kids that lived on the farm colony. You know, and so maybe this vortex was created by all this bad energy that was there, and maybe when you're there, you are inside this building and you just can't see or hear anything that's around you. It's mm-hmm. kind of interesting, isn't it? It's very interesting, actually.
But isn't here? I'm going to spin it on you because you said that what if this vortex was created by all this energy?
Yeah.
What if the people were drawn to that area because there was already a vortex?
Yes, exactly.
Right?
Yes.
So that's what I think, because from what I've seen, the Walcott Mills is what? It's not that old. I mean, even today, it's not that old.
Right.
And it's gone. I understand that.
Early 1900s, yeah.
Okay, so that's nothing in the history of time.
Oh, right.
Vortexes, from my understanding and what I've seen when I've been in them or near them, is they're very, very old and mm-hmm. ancient, you know. Mm-hmm. So a vortex being created or something in the last even 100 years is really, like, just energetically looking at my guides, that doesn't feel right.
Yeah.
I wonder if the vortex was already there and the people yes. moved there because they were drawn to that area for yes. that reason.
Yes. So then if we talk about that, do you think that all the energy of the people who are drawn to that place makes it bigger, stronger, crazier?
I think it affects it. Mm-hmm. But I think that just like the changing of a season, now this is just me thinking about it and looking at my spirit guides too, is, you know, the energy will change mm-hmm. throughout the seasons, throughout the millennia, throughout everything, just based on whatever's going on. So yeah, sometimes it could get yeah. more active mm-hmm. or get stronger, I should say.
Yeah.
Depending on who is there, how often it's visited. And then yeah. if it's quiet, you know, and not as much activity, whatever, it can maybe settle down. But mm-hmm. I don't know that, I mean, we could, you know, it could definitely be changed by whatever's going on around it or in it or, yeah. But I wouldn't say it's just in one spot there. I would imagine and I've only been there a couple of times, where mm-hmm. it would have some kind of shifting so that you can't just always go to the same spot and always feel the same mm-hmm. thing.
No, and it does.
Continuously change.
It's always back there behind that cross. That's all, you know, it's kind of like in different spots all the time, actually, to be quite honest. But it's always kind of in that same area mm-hmm. that we have found right. it. And, you know, so many bad things have happened there. So many bad things have happened there. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, the kids were abused that were at the, you know, because they just treated people with mental, you know, difficulties horribly back in the day. And, you know, that's the spot where they just threw babies, you know. Sometimes, you know, the old stories are that some of them were alive. I'm just saying, this is what people have told us, you know. It's just got such a bad energy down there. Mm-hmm. So it's not a good energy. That vortex is not a good place, you know, but it is definitely there. And every time we're there, we don't feel it. We know it's there. Sometimes it's more prevalent, like you said, than others. So maybe mm-hmm. it goes by the seasons.
Yeah. Or just whoever's there. I mean, it could change
yep.
based on who's there, what they're doing. You know, if people go there on a regular basis and do, you know, healing energy work, mm-hmm. sending healing energy there, I would imagine that would affect it in a good way. You know, mm-hmm. if only people are going to investigate or goof around or whatever, because investigating, I mean, I would say for the most part, people investigating aren't, you know, mm-hmm. I'm nothing against paranormal investigators. I'm one of them, but it's yeah. really, you know, we're going to go yeah. in, we're going to check it out, we're going to see what's going on. Hey, that's cool. Hey, wow, look at that. And then you leave, you
yeah.
know? I mean,
yeah.
there's a lot of groups like that and probably some groups that aren't respectful and mm-hmm. whatever. So that's probably not helpful to
right.
a place like that.
Right.
Not saying it's intentionally hurtful either, but, yeah. You know, it's not that they're going there for healing energy, to send healing energy to the place. And I know your group has done that before. We've gone to mm-hmm. bring healing to it. That's great. It's mm-hmm. just, I would think that on a consistent basis, it would need to happen for a very, very long time to change yep. it in some kind of positive way.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea, though. You know, we should do that. Some of us should go down there and do a healing kind of ceremony right there at the cemetery. I think the rest of that place is kind of off limits. I don't like to go there anymore because it's really gotten very dark and very sinister and very scary. Actually, last time I was there, not in the cemetery part, but that other part, you know, where the buildings are,
yeah.
We were actually told to get out, mm-hmm. You know, and we got out, you know, and we captured that thing on the screen, you know, that was pretty gross crawling down, you know, Jeff had his kinetics or the kinetic connect. What do they call that thing?
Camera.
Yeah. And it showed, you could see this creature crawling down the walls of the main structure, you know, and, yeah, I don't. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't go there, but I would go back to the cemetery. That would be a good idea to do, actually. You know.
Yeah, and I mean, anytime you can send healing energy to a place like that is always good. But to have it really shift and change, it would have to happen a lot, I would think, because it's just so. I mean, those kind of things are very old, you know, and they've been around for a long time, and they're not anything that we created.
Right.
And I don't know necessarily how some of them are created. So.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what it would take to shift it enough that it would be not like that. So
that doesn't hurt to help. And then you could help all the babies. For sure. Do you know? So Trost is saying it could change with something like lunar cycles. And that's probably true. I would imagine maybe sometimes if the moon is full, they might be stronger than if the moon is new. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, any of that can affect, I mean, moon cycles, sun cycles, planetary alignments, all of that can affect this kind of stuff. In ways that I'm not familiar with. I'm not someone that's up on astrology or, you know, lunar cycles and stuff like that. So I would imagine, though, just from what I do know, that that definitely could be affecting. Well, it affects everything.
Oh, absolutely.
Here. So I would imagine it would affect that, too.
All that energy. Yeah, it affects all of us. Yes. And, you know, storms and anything, any kind of energy, right? Any kind of energy. And so the vortex is down in Arizona, though. So tell us about them, because I've never been to Sedona. I've never been to those vortexes.
Oh, you haven't?
No.
Oh,
someday I would like to go there, though.
Oh, it's fun. You know, and I dig Sedona. I've been there, I don't know, 3 or 4 times. Mm-hmm. And I do like it. And then some of it I'm like, oh, come on, you guys. I was talking to someone, actually a client that was just there and asked me, I have in my retail area of my studio, I have these really big rose quartz hearts for sale and they're huge. And I don't know if you've seen, I've have a couple of them left that are still for sale. And he said, did I see that sticker on the heart? Was that right? And it's probably 8 inches across. It's huge. Mm-hmm. And he said, did that say $100 or $1,000? And I almost choked. I'm like, what? $1,000? I go, no, it's $100. I'm like, and that, I'm going to tell you that's a good price for this size of
piece. Yeah.
And he goes, no, I get it, because I was just in Sedona and there was a very similar piece. I don't know the size of it exactly, but it looked comparable because I held it in my hand and I held that one in my hand and it looked almost the same size. It was on sale for $1,000.
Yeah.
Well, and I was like, what? And so I get, you know, and it may have been in some ceremony where it got, you know, juiced up with some really crazy energy and cool stuff. I get it. But I'm like, whoa. So you just have to like take it all with a grain of salt there. There's my little side note, but I do love Sedona. I love the portals. I love the vortexes.
Yeah.
I've been to, I can't remember how many there are. I'd have to probably, there's someone online, you can look it up. That how many there are there that, because you can go to the chamber, you're walking down the street, Chamber of Commerce, they give you a map with the vortexes on it. So it's not like it's a secret. And I've been to probably 5 of them on different trips. I'll go in and check out certain portal or vortex. Why am I going to say portals? Vortexes throughout the time that I'm there. And so I'll pick a couple each trip and go multiple times.
Yeah.
And like I said, it's, you can, at least I can feel as we get closer to them, you know, whoever I'm with, I'm usually with 1 or 2 friends. And as I get closer to where the vortex is said to be on the map, you know, reading my map, you can feel the energy shifting in the area. And then people will say, well, where do I go? And it's like, I don't know, just go wherever you feel like you need to go and just plop down. Yeah. And so it's, you just kind of use your instincts and walk until you feel like you need to stop. And then if it's safe to sit down, go ahead and sit down and just see what happens. Just kind of relax and let go. And
yeah.
know, maybe put your protections on just in case. But
yeah, because you never know it's going to come out of there. That's for sure.
Yeah. You know? Well, yeah, because I mean, it can be pretty intense. I've had only powerful positive experiences at those vortexes, but I would imagine that there's other stuff. And I know I've talked to some people that are like, ah, there's nothing there. I went and there was nothing. I'm like, well, I don't know what your expectations were either.
Right.
You know,
right.
If you're expecting, you know, Buddha to come flying up out of the ground, you know, bless you or something, I guess. I don't know. Maybe that could happen. But if that's what you're expecting to happen and it doesn't, then I guess you'd be let down.
So. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, no, I just, yeah. So I think when we talk about the difference between vortexes and there's a huge difference between vortexes and portals, and are swirly, crazy energy that who knows what, you know, can encompass things, you know, and I think they're made stronger by the things that happen around them, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I don't know. I think the vortexes are interesting. Some of them are huge. I mean, I was doing an investigation while it was actually clearing. Tim and I went, I can't remember where we were. We were in between the Twin Cities and Duluth here in Minnesota. So mm-hmm. within a 2.5 hour drive, we were somewhere in the middle. And mm-hmm. There was a gal who contacted me, and there was some weird stuff going on in her house. And what we found when we got to this property is she was on the edge of a really huge vortex. It was huge. There was a lake to one side of her property. She had a big piece of property. And right on the edge of her property, and then the next property over, there was a huge lake. So the lake was not on her property, but this vortex took up the entire lake and a lot of area around the lake. And it was a big mm-hmm. lake. Mm-hmm. And then it was right on the, like, covering, like, starting to come into her property, the edge of this vortex. So I think with the shifting of, you know, the moon energy, you know, we mm-hmm. had someone say in the chat room earlier, or mm-hmm. depending on what's going on in that area, you know, if they're having a lot of, maybe if they're doing some fracking or whatever, you know, whatever's going on, it shifts the vortex and it starts to get into her, you know, property and really gets disrupted. Because sometimes it settles down and sometimes it's active. And so she didn't know what was going on. And we get there and we're like, oh my gosh, you have this huge vortex, like right up against the edge of your property. And I think when it gets kind of wild and woolly there, it starts to affect your property and your house and the things going on here. So you have to, you know, it's mm-hmm. so she's like, what do you do? And I said, I don't know. Well, mm-hmm. so we asked our spirit guide, we're like, how do we do this? What do we do? Can we help her? Because I thought, well, we can't help her. It's a vortex. They actually said
did
that
you
we could.
Move it somehow?
Well, we couldn't move the vortex, but we could shift the energy around her house to set up like a barrier from it.
Oh yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's kind of like putting up a dam.
Yeah.
Or a levee, you know, it just keeps it mm-hmm. on one side, you know? Mm-hmm. So you have this little area that can stay protected and the vortex can be its thing, but then it's got this little like dam that, you know, kind of keeps it from going into the certain area. And it worked. I was surprised how well it worked. Mm-hmm. I haven't done it before. I've done it since then, but mm-hmm. it worked really well. She was really happy that everything kind of settled down. And there's little blips here and there because, you know, it's not leak proof.
Yeah.
I mean, for the most part, it works pretty good, but every once in a while, it's just things get so crazy. You have a little spillover, but it was good.
So here's what I'm envisioning. So you're trying to put this energy. Okay, I'm just being funny here. But
I can only imagine. Here we go.
I'm envisioning, you know, Baby Yoda and how he protects the Mandalorian, and he puts his little three-fingered hand up, and you know, you have your eyes closed. Sorry, I just got to say that. You're using the Force to protect your house.
You know, not too far from the truth, but I don't have green skin and big ears.
Well, no, but it's the same thing, right? It's kind of, you know, you're using energy, and that's what the Force is. So, okay. I get it. Anyway, I had to just say that.
No, I love it. That's cool. I wish. That would be cool.
We're so enthralled with Baby Yoda at this house. It's ridiculous.
Just fine. Just fine.
You know what? It's 30 minutes past the hour already because time is flying. So we're going to go to commercial break. So we will be right back in 2 minutes. This is The Gathering on the Para-X Radio Network.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal. Para-X.
Hey, Stephanie.
Hey, Tommy. What's shaking?
Oh, just getting ready for this week's show. It's going to be another far-out adventure on He Said, She Said, the Cryptid Show. What happens when you get two cryptid researchers together, one from Minnesota and one from Cryptovania?
I know. It's so much fun, and it's every week, and we get to have fun and talk to different people. And
we don't always agree on everything.
We might even disagree about a thing or two. Oh, my.
One never knows. It's been known to happen before.
And that is the beauty of He Said, She Said, the Cryptid Show on Sunday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern on the Para-X Radio Network.
That was money in the bank.
What happens to a ghost when their home is torn down? No one thinks of the disembodied when they rip down old buildings, dig up cemeteries, and build clean, unhauntable condos. Every year, hundreds of spirits are driven out of their own haunts by the careless living to exist alone with no one to scare. At Para-X Radio, our hosts feel the plight of these evicted disembodied, and we're reaching out to you to please open your heart to one of these lost souls, such as the ghost soldier of the General Wayne Inn or the abandoned spirit cat of Benjamin Rush. So please, please, let a little spooky into your life. Won't you open your house to a ghost without a home?
Para-X.
Welcome back to the gathering here on the Para-X Network. We are talking about energy, portals, we're talking about vortexes, and apparently some of my new terminology, portexes and vortals, which I just can't seem to say it correctly, so I'm saying all sorts of fun things tonight. But yeah, we've been talking mainly about vortexes so far. That kind of is the first piece that came up for us. And mm-hmm. on the break, we started talking about portals and a couple other things too.
Yeah.
And well, go ahead.
No.
You had found another term too.
I had found another term, you know, I was going over this for the show tonight, called energy gates. I had never heard that term before, and you were, so let me just, it says, what is an energy gate? Basically, it is the intersection of desire and opportunity, wherein the signature vibration of a person synchronizes itself with physical conditions to produce a change or an effect. Another expression is a window of opportunity. But then they go on to talk about famous spots that they feel are energy gates, like, for example, Stonehenge, with its many stone formations that are stacked to symbolize doors and archways, mm-hmm. are inspirational, and they teach possibilities, and they think that those might be energy gates. So, you know, there's all kinds of theories that these stone circles, which are like Stonehenge, that are all over Ireland, you know, that you can sometimes maybe even go back in time. I don't know if anybody's really ever done that, but it's used for time travel because of the energy. I think it's such an interesting and fascinating thing, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, and you had asked me on the break, you know, what do you think it is? And I'm like, well, I don't know, because I think vortex, portal, energy gate, you know, all these terms are starting to become the new shadow person. You know, there's a million different ways you can describe a shadow person because it's been so, you know, you take your own personal experience with it and then that's what you call it. So same thing, you know, people have different, like some people think shadow person's this, some people think it's that. Same thing with like a portal or vortex. Now, once you've had an experience with it, you think this is what this is and you think that's what that is. So I think it's becoming harder and harder to define a mm-hmm. portal versus a vortex versus an energy gate versus a stargate versus a wormhole versus all these things. I mean, we start getting, I think they're starting to get a little intertwined. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. I do. It's a fascinating subject. It really is a fascinating subject, isn't it?
It is. I think it's really interesting, you know, and I love going to different areas, like we said about going to vortexes and portals, mm-hmm. But they're different. I think they feel different.
They're very different.
When I go to them, I don't, I think personally, a vortex feels much more expansive. Mm-hmm. It feels...
Yes.
It feels like there's a communication there.
Yes.
Yes.
That I don't necessarily feel when I go to a portal.
Yes. Exactly. Yes. So Sherry is asking, are tuning forks useful at portals and vortexes?
I don't know. I haven't brought one to a vortex or a portal. Have you brought one to a vortex or a portal, Sherry? That's what we want to know. Because I haven't brought one.
No.
I don't have one. So I would have to get one and then go to a portal or a vortex and see what happens.
You know, I also wonder what our rods would do at these energy spots. You know what?
I suppose instead of bringing a tuning fork, I could just bring one of my bowls. That would probably be the same difference.
The bowl. Yeah. Or even our rods. Is that word I'm looking for? Divining rods. Yes. Yeah. Yes. I'm thinking that we should maybe take those with out in the woods with us and see what they do at those portals that we find.
Because I have a certain bowl that I bring to certain paranormal investigations because I'll just say it rattles the cage of some spirits. They don't like it. Mm-hmm. Not that I'm trying to do it. I'm not trying to provoke or anything. It's just, I want to see, you know, and I have been told by spirit guide, he says to stop when he thinks I'm pushing it.
Yeah.
Because it's going to get them mad and they don't like it. Oh. And then you're in trouble. Mm-hmm. So I think that that would be the same thing as a tuning fork at a vortex or a portal. Cause you're still, working with vibration, which that would be something that would interact, I would imagine, with a vortal. Vortal, what is my deal tonight? I am apparently trying to create new...
It's a vortal. I love it. You know, that's such a great idea. Sherry, I'm so glad you pointed that out because I am definitely... I don't have those tuning rods, but I have divining rods, so I'm bringing those next time for sure. That's a great idea, Heidi.
I'll have to bring some of my bowls. Some of the small ones that I can travel.
Maybe next time we go out to the across the marshland over there, we should bring them both and see what happens because it's ramping up again, that energy under that stick structure. Yeah, so I think it's going to be big soon. So great idea. It's an awakening, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah, to buy. Yeah, you know, it might be kind of fun to just buy those. Vortal is Heidi-ism. It is.
Thank you, Dave. Yes, it is. A vortal and a cortex. Those are my terms. We've invented a lot of stuff on this show.
We do.
After the exorcism jello, it just went downhill from there, though.
Oh, God, yeah. Every once in a while, we've come up with that jello stuff, and we have to post it online because we talk about that all the time.
Yeah, we do.
So then if we're talking about portals, now portals have a totally different feeling than a vortex, for sure. And you can come upon them and they're small. Like vortexes are big. Like I said, the one that I know of in down near Walcott Mills is very large, right? Because, you know, there can be 10 people in there and they can't see us or hear us and we're 20 feet away. Mm-hmm. But a portal is smaller. Like for example, the ones that we find in the woods are like a smaller area. I think their energy reaches out a little bit ways away from the actual portal, but it's not, doesn't encompass the space like a vortex does. And I think it's different.
The portal is definitely a different energy. It doesn't, like you said, it doesn't have the reach that a vortex usually does. Not all vortexes are huge, but a lot of them have, you know, quite a cover some substantial ground. But a portal, it feels much more condensed. It feels much more precise, and it also doesn't stay in one spot, you know, and sometimes can disappear altogether quite quickly too. Yeah. I think a vortex is really, unless it's been interfered with or has been altered by some earth energy or human interference, they really kind of stay put. I mean, they do shift within themselves and they shift and change and all that stuff, but they don't just usually disappear. Where portal just can come and go. I don't think they stay in one spot for very long because it's just, it's not the same. It's not the same thing. It's not for the same reason. it's not from the same creation.
Right. And I mean, like that one that we found in our research area across the marshland, it was so strong for a month or two, and then there was nothing.
Gone.
And it was like that way for the longest time. And now the last couple of times we've been up there, there's a little something going on. It feels like, almost like it's ramping up again. You can feel it. It's like a little twist going on under there. And every time we go, it's a little bit stronger. So it's bizarre, though, isn't it? It's very bizarre. But that's that one.
So Tommy in the chat room is asking, what would happen if one... Well, very funny, you're using my words. What would happen if one salted the ground at a portal or vortex? Mm-hmm. Or a vortex or portal? I haven't done it, but I'm asking my spirit guides right now, and what they're saying is, if you salted at a vortex, you would be basically creating some kind of irritation, but it doesn't look like much would happen.
Oh.
Unless you had a 1,000 people salting at the same time, working on the same thing, which I guess, leave them alone, don't do that.
Yeah.
But if one person's going, it would be like an irritation. It wouldn't really do much. Mm-hmm. You do it at a portal, and you could shut it down. You could, and they're actually showing that you could halt the energy that could be passing mm-hmm. through it, and you could actually cause some damage.
Mm-hmm.
Which, because we don't, just because we can't see it doesn't mean there's not something happening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we might feel something and not have any idea what's actually happening, because we're like, oh, cool, I can feel something happening. And we have no awareness around what is actually going on. So if you do something like that, I mean, you could be really disrupting some kind of process or flow and have no idea that you're doing it.
Yeah.
Or actually damaging something. So
yeah, I don't think we want to do that for sure.
I don't think I want to do it. It doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel like it should be done.
Mm-hmm.
That's my two cents. Good question. Yeah. Thank you.
I agree.
And then Sherry said ecological damage too. Well, yeah, you don't want to put salt all over the ground, especially out just in nature. I mean, you don't want to put it really anywhere. It's not good, but poor little plants will be shriveling up in no time.
Well, and we're thinking, though, that portals can transport, like Bigfoot, for example, from one place to the other. Right. And that's a portal, you know, and ghosts can come through portals. We always say when people play with Ouija boards, they're opening a portal to who knows where. And we never know what exactly is going to come out of there. And the portals that we find in the woods, a lot of times are near these structures that we think, but we have no idea if they're made by Bigfoot. So does Bigfoot travel that way? We don't know. It's kind of thought about.
Sometimes. That's what a theory.
It is theory. Like when we had our stick structure quadrant and we had all of those stick structures, we thought maybe there was a portal in the middle somewhere. Mm-hmm. I don't think we ever got that sense, though. You know, we didn't sense any energy in there. So I don't know.
What I think that there is there's a portal that comes and goes. And so it's just not present when we're there, because someone is operating it. Someone is in control of when it's there and when it's not there.
Yeah.
And because we can't sneak up on anyone out there, because they know when we're thinking about coming, they don't have to have it open when we're there.
Right. That's true. Never know what could that come through a voice recorder. Yeah, you know, that's not a bad idea, too.
We've done that. We've had voice recorders out there.
We have. We actually have. The night we spent out there, we had our voice recorders up. And we did get some ghostly voices. So, yeah, there is kind of crazy things that happen around there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. You know, one of the things that I was doing a home clearing. Now, this is along the same lines, but it ended up not being either one, not a portal or a vortex. We're doing a home clearing. And it felt like a portal. That's the first thing that came to mind when we were doing this home clearing. And the grandson of one of my clients had actually been affected by an entity in her home and had started getting this kid to do these awful little things. He was really little. Mm-hmm. And he ended up attaching himself to the 6-year-old. We ended up having to do an exorcism on him. And his mother and his grandmother were present. He actually levitated. It was crazy. I'm like, I've never seen someone almost pass out. And both the mom and the grandma looked like they were going to pass out. And I'm like, just don't move a muscle. But we had to go to the house then after we did this exorcism, because we had to figure out what's going on there, because we don't want to, you know, here we are, we're getting the grandson all fixed up, and then we, you know, he just goes right over to grandma's house and boom, something else happens. Yeah. So we got to figure out what's going on. So we went there, and what we found was what I thought was a portal. And Tim thought too, he's like, yep, it feels like a portal here, and you can feel it in a certain area of the house. Mm-hmm. And so we sat there for a minute, and we were looking at what this energy was showing us, and you could see it looking like, it looked like an entryway. And we asked about it, and we said, how do, you know, should we close it, or how do we divert it? You know, we want to make sure that this isn't just something that pops in, you know. And they said, this one you can't close. It's not necessarily a portal that can be closed. You know, we'll have to divert it because it's big. It's really big, almost like a vortex, but it's not a vortex because beings are using this for travel. But what's happening is it was almost like a wormhole.
Oh.
So these beings weren't supposed to be coming out where they were. They weren't supposed to be coming out here, but there was a hole, like a tear or something in it. Mm-hmm. And so as these beings were, imagine being on the subway, and then there's this little like secret stop on the subway that mm-hmm. if you're not paying attention, you'll just zoom right by it. But every once in a while, a being will catch it and go, oh, I've never been there, and slide out, right? And walk around and then go, oh, this is stupid, and get back on and go, right? Because mm-hmm. it's stupid for them. They don't want to be there. And not that her house is stupid. Her house is nice, but it's, they don't want to be here. And, but like on a perfect storm kind of energy, you'll get some being that goes, oh, I can mess around here. I can do some bad stuff here. And that's what happened. And this being came out and latched onto this little guy that just happened to be hanging out at grandma's house. And boom, here it was. And so I said, well, you know, what the heck? And he said, it's just different. It's kind of like a wormhole. This is a spirit guide talking. He says, kind of like a wormhole. You can't close it. We can divert it. You have to be careful, though, because it's not good for humans to mess around with something like this. And I said, I'm thinking it's kind of like one of those water chutes when you go to the water park and you're zooming through those tubes with the mm-hmm. water. That's kind of how I envision mm-hmm. it. You hop in and you just go flying and then you end up somewhere else, right? Mm-hmm. Well, that's kind of how I envisioned it. And I was like, that would be kind of cool. Let's, you know, could Tim, you know, could we sit in the energy of this and like meditate and see if we shoot out somewhere? And we almost got like slapped upside the head. Like if he could have like manifested an arm and slapped us in the head, he would have. He's like, are you two nuts? Like, what is wrong with you? I just got done telling you we can't mess around with this.
And
you, And so I said, well, why not? And he said, do you understand that if you meditated and you actually were able to create an out of body experience or some kind of astral travel, your soul could actually get sucked into that and your body would fall over like a potato and you would probably never reconnect.
Yeah, Heidi, and you talk about me doing crazy things. That's
well,
really
I didn't
crazy.
Think it was that. I mean, now that I know that, I would never do that.
Oh,
you know?
No, I would never do that.
No, I wouldn't, because I don't want to be a sack of potatoes. Because no. I would be in a basically what they would probably call as a coma for the rest of my life. Because there would be no
reaction. Because that happens. That happens. You know? Yeah. No, can't do that. Oh,
yeah.
Gosh.
So we had to divert it so that nobody could get caught in it like a human. Because if you sat in that area and like meditated or something, I mean, you might get sucked up into it, and mm-hmm. your body would fall over, and you'd be living but not living anymore. Yeah.
Yep.
So anyway, that was interesting because that was like a crazy little combination of things that, you know, you don't run into all the time, mm-hmm. but it was actually very dangerous, and wasn't supposed to be here.
Yeah.
But it was a kind of a mistake.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, and then, like I said, there are those portals that you can create when you play the Ouija board, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we close doors, but those are not as, you know, I mean, so there's like.
No, because those are created. We made that so we can shut that down.
So we can shut that down.
Yeah. It's easier to make something or to shut something down that we made, humans mm-hmm. made. Mm-hmm. You know, you make it, you can break it kind of thing.
Right. Yeah. So
we've got a couple of questions here on the chat room. Let's see here. Sherry is asking, will the portal show up on infrared or any imaging camera? I haven't been able to capture anything. We've had infrared cameras. We've had thermal imaging cameras, full spectrum cameras in areas where we believe there is a portal, and nothing so far that I've seen has shown up on any of it. But maybe someone else has captured something. That would be very cool to see. If you guys know of anybody, give us a shout out.
Yeah. It would be fun to do. You know, we've had, although for the vortexes, so for example, we've had, you know, all the cameras that paranormal investigators have trained on that, and nothing ever shows up either, you know? So yeah. it's kind of, I don't know. Things that make you go,
Exactly. Yep. Kat asked, did anyone notice whether animals avoid either vortices or portals?
Yeah, I think they avoid vortexes like the plague, honestly, because I never see any animals anywhere near that vortex that I know about down in southern Minnesota.
I guess it depends on where, though, because I see people with their animals I've seen them, I won't say all the time because I've only been there 4 times, but to Sedona, bringing their animals there, and their animals look like happy little animals.
That's interesting.
So I think it depends on the vortex.
Yeah. Well, that could be. That could be.
I haven't had an experience with an animal at a portal, and I don't know. It would be interesting. I don't want to bring my dog.
Yeah, I was going to say I wouldn't bring my babies there. So Tommy's asking, are the lights in the woods spilled energy from this occurring? What do you think about that?
It could be. I mean,
because we see lights in the woods all the time.
Anyway. Yeah.
That's interesting.
That night we did the overnight. Remember we saw those?
Yes. There were several, and we couldn't explain them at all, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, that's an interesting thought. Could be. Could very well be. Okay, so here, see, we're thinking and we're on the radio, so we're supposed to be talking, no, we need to stop thinking.
I'm reading, actually, Kat just posted on the chat room. It's a board with letters and numbers on it. I'm guessing she's talking about a Ouija board. How do you open a portal with it? By calling spirits. Don't you do that by... Don't you do that by talking to them, asking them to talk into a voice recorder? Well, it's both.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, you can open basically a doorway. It's a portal. It's a doorway. You can do it with a video camera. You can do it with a voice recorder. You can do it with a Ouija board. Doesn't matter. You know, not all of them are big enough to stay or shoot something through that's negative. Some of them are just like, communication and then stop. You know, and it's gone. You know, it kind of closes up by itself. Or you close it up because you know what you're doing when you're done.
Yeah.
But some of them are just so small that they just kind of fall in on themselves when you get so far into it. So then nothing really happens.
Yeah.
After that. Exactly. But anything, anything that you use for communication, whether it's a voice recorder or a Ouija board, is an opportunity to open something if you're using it that way. Or like Ceiling Cat in the chat room says, it's a portal to hell and a sandwich tray. Absolutely.
Well, I have to think about those. Imagine
using a Ouija board as a sandwich tray when your neighbors come over.
Right?
That's a good idea.
God, come on, Heidi.
God, I've got five of them.
I do like the whole lights in the woods thing. You know what? I think we need to pay attention to this one, you know, and see if next time we see lights and we're out there at night and we see those lights in the woods, just walk around and see if we can feel any energy portals around there. Good stuff. Yeah. When we saw those lights that night we were out there, there was no energy coming from underneath that stick structure. That was like, it was just gone. And the lights that we saw were further out, so they weren't close to us.
But they looked like they were coming our direction. It looked like people walking in the woods with flashlights, except there was nobody in the woods, and they weren't flashlights. It was see-through, transparent light energies creating their own lights, but they weren't attached to anything.
Interesting stuff. See, we always find out good stuff. Now I'm going to bring my rods next time I go out in the woods, and we got to pay attention to those lights. So Dave is asking, what's the difference in which avenue you use, be it voice recorder, Ouija board, whatever?
I don't think there is one. I mean, there's no difference other than you pick your medium, you pick the way you want to open it up, and then you use it. There is no difference, you know, and that's one of the things when I teach paranormal investigating to people, I ask people in the class if they would ever use a Ouija board. And I'm asking as I'm holding a K2 meter, I said, hey, does anybody ever use a Ouija board? And they all look at me like, oh, no, I would never use a Ouija board. They're all adamant, you know, being good students that they are. There's, oh, no, you would say that's bad too, right, Heidi? And I'm like, well, yeah, we got to be careful with that stuff. So, but yeah. This voice recorder that I'm holding is also a different version of a Ouija board. And then their mouths fall open like, oh, great. Mm-hmm. Just walked into that trap. Mm-hmm. You just have to have a proper amount of respect for what you're doing. You know that anything could happen, and so to be safe. Yeah. And if you don't know what you're doing, don't do it. You know, find someone that is experienced with this or knows how to handle certain mm-hmm. situations that come up, and mm-hmm. work with them through it.
Yeah.
And you know, you can do it a million times anyway, and nothing happens. But you don't know what the one time is when that's going to happen that could possibly go south.
Right. Well, and don't you think Ouija board problems happen when people who really have no idea what the Ouija board does, and then they keep playing it and keep playing it and keep playing it, and then that portal gets bigger and stronger, and who knows what's coming out of there. And then they call on people like us to come and help, you know?
Yeah. I mean, unfortunately, the Ouija board is treated like a game, you know, because that's the way it's marketed. So people think it's a game. They don't think it's actually can work.
You could buy them at Woolworths back in the day. You know, they sell them.
I think you can still buy them at Target.
Yeah, you can. Exactly. So, and their market is a
kid. Which is fine, but then,
I know. Yeah. Well, anyway.
So, the Ouija board is kind of like a little portal, you know, open up a little portal, have a little communication, close a little portal down.
Yep. Craziness. Gosh. Well, you know, this hour has flown by. We only have 3 minutes left. Oh, my gosh.
Good, fun topic.
It's a good, fun topic. I know. So next week, we will be, our show happens on St. Patty's Day. So
Patrick's Day, you have to work on your Irish accent.
Yes. And I think this one will be a fun one because we're going to talk all about Irish things and, you know, fun stuff like leprechauns and fairies and stone circles and all kinds of stuff. It'll be a good one.
Yep. Yep.
And we'll have to wear our shamrocks and stuff too, you know, maybe even have a glass of green beer. I don't know. I'm just saying.
We could try it. I'm going to probably start drinking towards the end of the show just so I don't hurt myself on the show.
Exactly.
Good Charles deal.
Charles is saying he's never messed with a Ouija board because he's too scared. Yeah, well.
That's right.
Don't do it unless you know what you're doing. That's my advice.
It's not worth it.
Same with the voice recorder. Same thing, you know. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I guess it's the end of our hour already.
I know. This was fun. And thanks for everybody chatting in the chat room. This is good stuff in there.
Yes. And if there's any troops listening tonight, which I know they're kind of back and forth and back and forth, but if you're listening, hey, thank you so much for your service. And thanks for listening to The Gathering because we sure enjoy your company.
Yeah. And thanks for your service. Appreciate your service.
Yes. And everyone have a great week. And Heidi? Yeah.
All good things to you all this week. And thanks for just everybody listening. And we do appreciate everybody tuning in and gathering around the metaphysical table with us. Para X, thank you so much again for hosting us. This is always a joy for us to do. And Sarge, our most amazing wizard producer, you are the best. Thank you so much. And we'll be back next week to talk about all things green.
Yay!
Maybe even little leprechauns and aliens. Who knows?
Absolutely. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.